welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, I feel like the Lord wants us to be encouraged this morning that there is power in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life personally, but there is, the old song says, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. And there is power and strength in that name. So be encouraged. Praise God. God has given us his name, and it is a powerful name, a wonderful name above all names. And I love that proverb that says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it, and they're safe. Praise God. We just find our strength and safety this morning in the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in Colossians. The Apostle Paul writing to the Colossian church. We're going to look at a series of scriptures, and I just think the theme and the idea is going to start to shine through as we look at these scriptures. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we're called in one body and called to be thankful. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Psalm 92, 1 through 2, it is a good thing. It is good to give thanks. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, as we look at these scriptures, we obviously see a common theme of thankfulness. You know, Paul telling the Colossians, you are called in one body, be thankful. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord with an attitude of thanksgiving. Psalms, it just declares it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to declare his loving kindness, to declare his faithfulness. And then finally, I love the description of us as believers, as Christian believers. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You know, when we look at that final scripture up there, it reminds us of another scripture actually in Colossians, where it says that when we got born again, saved, received Christ, however you want to label it, something happened. We were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what happened to us on the inside. That's what happened to us when we became children of God. And he says here, we've become his own special people that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's a certain pattern that you can see there as you're going from darkness to light in the proclaiming of his praises. And this morning, I just kind of want to get right into it. What I really want to minister along the line is praising your way out of darkness. Okay? Even though we're Christians, even though we're children of God, even though we love God and we know he loves us and he lives in us, there are still things that we go through down here, dark places that you're going to walk through. Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And one of the amazing things that we can experience down here, no matter what the dark place is, we can praise our way out of darkness into his marvelous light in the day-to-day stuff that we're going through down here. And, you know, a lot of times, too, we talk a lot in Door of Life, you know, we kind of revisit our mission, the love of God, ministering the love of God to people, letting people know about the love of God. And on the other side, we've got hope, letting people know that Jesus is coming back. We've got a lot to look forward to. There's a joy that is set before us, not only the hope of eternity, but the hope of the good works that God's ordained you to walk in. Some exciting things, your future, his plan for your life. Our lives are full of hope. In the middle, between those two things of God's love and the hope that we have, the Bible says three things remain, faith, hope, and love. There's faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. It is our faith. It's not our willpower. It's our faith. And so at Door of Life, we spend quite a bit of time in these areas of love and overcoming and the future and the hope. But this morning, this is really kind of one of those faith messages of an overcoming. This is a victory that overcomes the world. It is our faith. There's an overcoming that takes place in our hearts as we begin to walk with God. And there's a lot of different ways to talk about overcoming and getting victory and different things like that. But I love talking about overcoming faith in the context of praise, because the Bible has so much to say about this. And, you know, when you think about praise, you think about something good. You think about something happy. And what a great starting point when you're endeavoring to walk out of a place of darkness, then pray. You know, so much of life is perspective. I think I saw it was a Far Side cartoon that had three little blocks. It was called The Three Personality Types. Guy sitting in a restaurant with a glass of water that's halfway filled up. And the first one says, "This glass is half empty." Of course, the second one guy says, "Wow, this glass is half full." The other guy said, "Hey, I ordered a cheeseburger." Well, you know, as we're looking at our glass this morning, our life, situation, circumstances, if you take inventory of your life, there's good stuff, there's not so good stuff, there's attacks. I mean, if you're living this life, Jesus said you'll have tribulation. The flesh, the world, and the devil, you got to deal with. And so there's different sides of life that you can look at. And so much of life really is perspective. And as we're talking about praising your way into gratitude, we can see here one of the most elementary ways we can see this. Romans 1, 12, 20 through 22 says, this is Paul writing to the Romans, he says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." There's a lot of stuff that happened that can really hinge on something. It says, because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, thankfulness is such a huge hinge, because somebody's going to get the credit, somebody's going to get the glory, somebody's going to get the focus of our attention and worship of things. And, you know, this is the context of talking about creation, you know, and here we can see in the case of just natural man, you take inventory, and you're going to either ascribe it to God and give glory to God and be thankful for God and his creation, or not. And when you decide to not be thankful, you not attribute it to God, there's a whole pattern of thought that comes out of that. But we can see a lot of the fallen state of man has a lot to do with the lack of thankfulness to God. You know, and we see even the pressure on our world and even our culture to kind of strip God out. Don't give God credit. Don't give God glory. It all really kind of goes back to this. And the more you do that, the more you begin to fall into this pattern. Because then when you're not looking upward at God and giving him glory, then you're looking inward at yourself. You're saying, "Wow, look what I've done. Look what I've done. My power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth." No. But there's an attitude of thankfulness that God calls us to. But you can see what happens. And I'm using this about the unbeliever. Now let me put that parallel back into my own life, okay? I'll come into my own life, and when I am not mindful to be grateful and give thanks to God for things that I've done, my foolish heart can become darkened and my imaginations can start to run wild. Anybody who's got one of these mortal bodies knows what I'm talking about, which is all of us here. We've got that tendency, that natural tendency. It's one of those things that I got to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for every good thing that I have, it's from you. Every good thing that I have from you." Maybe you know some people that are like that. They just seem to be like that. They just seem to give God thanks for every little thing. God wants us to become one of those where we begin to give thanks to God. We said our opening scripture, he said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What is it we're talking about? It's not a meticulous keeping track of giving thanks. It's an attitude. You know, that's when you see that word gratitude, you see there's attitude in gratitude. And that's really what gratitude is. More than, oh, I forgot to give thanks for this. It has really nothing to do with keeping track and perfectly hitting all, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. It's bigger than that. Whether you miss an I or miss a T, your heart and your attitude is grateful. I'm grateful to God. And when you begin to praise your way into what we're just saying, praising your way into gratitude, you know, things will begin to happen. Psalm 34, 1 through 2 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Easy to read says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I'll never stop singing his praises. Humble people will listen and be happy while I brag about the Lord. Praise God. That is an amazing, amazing thing how that happens. I've had it, you know, too, when you're talking about, you know, things in my life. Like I said, sometimes I've come back to this on accident, by accident. Not that it isn't in the Word and that I can't do it on purpose, but I've been, you know, where I'm just kind of, you know, I mean, I remember a time where I'm just kind of frustrated and I'm walking around and just, you know how it is. You kind of get the cloud and you're, you know, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever that darkness is. And I remember it was a dark night. I remember looking up at the sky, and it was just a beautiful sky. And I thought, wow. I just looked up, and all of a sudden said, wow, thank you, God, for that pretty sky, that beautiful night. And then all of a sudden, something in me going, ooh, good. That was good. That was a good thing to do. You know, when you're parenting, you kind of get those lessons and, you know, catch your kids doing good. You know, catch your kids doing right and be sure to compliment them. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit catch you being good? You know, you're in the middle of your mess, and all of a sudden you do one little thing right, and it's like, wow, praise God. And all of a sudden I got all this complicated, confusing mess, and I'm just, wow, that's really a pretty sky, and whoa, yeah. There's some joy and there's some peace there. Just compliment on a pretty sky. A little thing like that? Yeah. I think, wow, maybe there's something else I can be grateful for. And all of a sudden, yeah, you know, you begin to think about little things. You know, thank you for helping me this morning, you know, to get something done, to giving me wisdom. Or a little, just a little thing. Thank you, Lord, for just a nice, you know, for a nice provision to do something. Thank you, Father God. And all of a sudden, you just begin to, on purpose, be thankful and just realize that the Holy Spirit really likes that when we're really grateful for little things like that. I've been broken. It's like something's broken off the tiniest little thing. You think, wow, so that's going to solve your whole problem by complimenting the disciples? Nah, it's going to set me on the path, though. All of a sudden, I can begin to praise God. See, the psalmist said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. So there's no time that's exempt from this. And so in the middle of my darkness, in the middle of my cloud, I can begin to look at, appreciate, and begin to find those good things, little things, even the littlest things. You can say, thank you, God. What am I doing? Ultimately, it's not just the beautiful, pretty sky. It's the attitude of the heart. I'm turning the attitude of my heart. Because when you're in darkness, you are a lot of times you're in problem-solving mode. Got to figure this out. Got to get through this. Got to crack this nut. Got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When you start praising your way out of darkness, you're not in problem-solving mode. That's very humbling, isn't it? And that's what gratitude is. It will bring you into a place of humility where you stop problem-solving. And you just become thankful to God for all those little things. Praise God. Yeah, the glass may be half empty in some ways, but the glass is half full in these other ways. God, thank you. And you begin to find every little way. Praise God that he's been good. I love this scripture too. Ephesians says, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you're just finding any little thing you can find to give thanks for. You just begin to give thanks for it. Begin to give thanks for it. I'm just going to be grateful. I don't know how I'm going to solve this problem, but I'm going to be grateful in the midst of it. I'm not going to allow my gratitude to get sucked out. No way. I am going to stir up appreciation, Lord, for every little thing that you've done in my life. And really what that is in the bigger picture, it's not just, you know, it's not just, again, being happy or something like that. It's really humility when you begin to just say, okay, God, I'm going to begin to thank you for what's right. You're kind of taking inventory of life, and again, instead of looking at everything that's wrong with life, you're beginning to look at those things that are good, those things that are right. All right, and here's a wonderful scripture. We look a lot of times at prayer, but there's something very powerful that surrounds this prayer scripture. In Philippians 4, 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you start out with anxiety and fear, and you wind up with thanksgiving as you're letting your requests be made known unto God. In other words, I'm asking God, and I'm going to ask God with a grateful heart, a thankful heart, just an appreciative heart. The God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, the God who made me, God, you're amazing. All the little things that I see, I'm asking you with a heart of gratitude. What happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's kind of what I experienced too. When I was telling you that night, I'm kind of walking around, I look up at the sky, and I just compliment God on how beautiful his sky is. And all of a sudden, I had peace. Just my little thanksgiving. My big complicated problem. Just a peace interruption. And I knew it was right. Something happened. But here's the cool thing. Verse 8. We can kind of look at this verse 8 and go, really? Wow. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Wow. That is quite a list of things. This is certainly a glasses half full kind of a verse. We live on a fallen planet with demonic activity, our own fallen flesh that we're dealing with, other people's fallen flesh that we're dealing with. We got a lot of stuff going on down here. And if you're going to be seeing this stuff, you're going to have to be looking for it. It's talking about an attitude. This is really a follow through to your prayer request. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I'm asking, Father, I'm not just asking, I'm asking with thanksgiving. There's a humility in that. You know, you could have two people, A and B, asking God for the same thing, but one person asks with thanksgiving and with an appreciative heart, a grateful heart. And not only have I asked it, but after I'm done with my prayer request, then I'm not going to go back to worst case scenarioing what I just prayed for. But apparently, I'm going to be best-case scenarioing what I just prayed for. Because what I just prayed for now, I'm going to be, says finally, and this is in conclusion to the prayer discourse, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, honest, just, those things, once you've prayed it out, God knows you've made yourself vulnerable. That's the most vulnerable thing you can do, is putting your hope in the Lord. We sing about it, we talk about it, but to really do it, that's a place of vulnerability. Okay, God, I'm lifting this up to you. I'm not going to be anxious about it, but I'm turning it into a prayer request, and I'm just saying, Father, show me what to do. Give me the things that I need. Help me in this thing that's causing anxiety. And I'm asking, Lord, with thanksgiving, because you're faithful. You are the one who made the sun, the moon, the stars. You are the one who made this planet. You are the one who made my brain, my body. You're amazing. You're incredible. God, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. But you're on purpose doing it in a way that is humbling yourself. You're praising your way. You're praising your way into gratitude. And that's really just a powerful way that all of a sudden, well, the Bible says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Isn't that incredible? How we can on purpose find any little thing and just, God, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And you will just be, the Holy Spirit will just bear witness. That's good. That's good. That's good. Praise God. And you can build on that and build on that. Have you ever had that? Even when you're just fellowshipping with a brother and sister in Christ, you may be talking about something good that God did in your life. And it just blesses them. And then it reminds them of something God did in their life. And they tell you, and it blesses you. And then it reminds you of something God did in your life. And you're going back and forth and back and forth. And there's like a momentum. And you're kind of in the spirit. And you lose track of time. And you've been doing it for 2 hours. And you thought it's like 20 minutes. What is that? That's when you begin to get in the spirit on spiritual things. And it's an amazing thing. You can begin to do that with just the little things. Begin to praise your way into gratitude. We're talking about praising your way out of darkness. You're going to praise your way into gratitude. God, no matter what the circumstance, I got a lot of stuff I could just stop and be thankful for. I'm going to purpose to be grateful, to be thankful for every little thing. Praise God. And so that's the first area. I remember that had happened to me. This is, when you think of a couple things in the life of Jesus, there was the instance where they were going to, they had all these people they were going to feed. And you know, the disciples were in a panic because there's no way they could feed all these people. And they said, you know, Lord, all we have are, you know, just a couple fish and five. Test 1, 2, 1, 2. All right, good. All right. And so, you know, his disciples were kind of, you know, at their wits' end. What are we going to do? We got all these people that we got to feed. And he just had, you know, all we got is a couple, you know, fish and five loaves of bread. And the cool thing is Jesus, he took those, the little that he had, and it said that he lifted it up and he gave thanks. He lifted it up to the Father and gave thanks for what he had. I think that is a beautiful example. And then, of course, we know the miracle. The miracle of multiplication, the loaves and the fish multiplied and fed thousands of people. I think God is looking for us to take those opportunities to look at the little that we have and to lift it up and say, thank you for this. Thank you for this. That's humility. That's where you're saying, thank you, God, for what I do have. The disciples were over here running the math on the five loaves and two fish against the 5,000 people. And the math didn't work. Jesus was over here taking the little he had, and there was something about lifting it up and giving thanks to God and blessing it that caused the math to change. Isn't that the way God works with us human beings down here? He works with us on these ways that we just take the little that we have and we're grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much. But my bills are X and my income's Y. Thank you so much for Y, Lord. Thank you so much for what you've blessed me with. Thank you for so much for what you've given me. I thank you for it. Praise God. There's something about that, that gratitude. It's humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When I am purpose, just decide to become grateful, starting with the smallest thing and working my way up to where I'm just seeing things that are true, honest, just, looking for that stuff. It works humility in my heart. It causes me to be humble in a way that the grace of God can flow and those few loaves and fish can become something wonderful. But there's a humility. There's a trust. So we're going to praise our way out of darkness by praising our way really on purpose into gratitude. Another way that we're going to do is we're going to praise our way into faith. You know, faith, when you walk by faith, live by faith, it would be handy if faith was just something you could graduate into and be done with. You know, like in school, you get a credential, you get that credential, it's on to the next credential. It would be slick, again, if faith was something that I got it and I'm done. Faith is one of those things that you are going to maintain in your life. The Bible refers to it as a fight. There's a good fight of faith, and it's not over yet down here. As long as you're down here, there will be a fight of faith. There will be a trial of your faith. There's things going on to attack your faith, your faith, your faith. And you know that the just are going to live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's going to be this element of faith in my life for Christ that is the will of God and the plan of God. Absolutely. And as I'm endeavoring to walk by faith, live by faith, please God by faith, there is going to be a trial of that faith. There's going to be things, there will be a fight for that faith that I'm going to have to deal with. But one of the powerful ways that we can get in faith is we can literally begin to praise our way into faith. Okay? Here's what the psalmist said. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. We kind of saw that before. He goes on to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. Here's a guy who got delivered from all his fears. He didn't start out delivered. He got there. He got there by blessing the Lord in a continual way. Not only was he blessing the Lord, his soul was making its boast in the Lord. You know, it's one thing to point out and be grateful for things, but you begin to glorify God and make your boast in the Lord. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And I love that word, magnify. It means to make big, make huge. You want to praise your way into strong faith, magnify the Lord. Make the Lord in your heart and your mind huge. Obviously, you're not changing God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. But in your heart and in your mind, there are times when he's smaller, and there's times when he's bigger and all-encompassing. And what is the psalmist saying? He said, magnify the Lord. That's talking about your heart, your mind. How big is God, and how big is your problem? When we're talking about, you know, praising your way into gratitude, you're choosing to kind of take your eyes off the half-empty stuff in life and putting your eyes on the half-full things in life, the true, honest, just, pure, lovely gratitude for all the little things. When we're talking about this kind of thing, as far as praising your way into faith, you are taking your eyes off of your own failures in yourself. And you're putting your eyes, you know, and basically taking your eyes off everything that's wrong with you and putting your, and everybody else and things that are going on in your life, and putting your eyes on everything that's right with God. Now I'm not seeing what's wrong with me and my own inadequacies, I'm seeing him. Yeah, there's sin, but yeah, there's grace. Yeah, there may be weakness, but there's strength. You know, yeah, there may be confusion, but there is clarity of thought and soundness of mind in him. I am weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. What am I doing? I'm on purpose changing that channel from the me channel of what's wrong to how great God is. Magnify. There was something that happened between verse 3 and verse 4 from when he magnified God and made him huge that all of a sudden his fears fled away. It's kind of like you got these two pictures in your mind that are in flux. Your problems and your issues have a certain size, and God's power and the reality of who he is has a certain size. And it's a moving target. We know, again, God doesn't change, but in our heart and our mind, where faith comes, we got to begin to magnify the Lord. We're talking about praising our way into faith. You begin to magnify the Lord. Before David ever took Goliath, he began to magnify the Lord, what the Lord would do. And you could tell even David when he's saying, to this day, you've defied the armies of God and the God of Israel. God is going to give me your life this day, and I'm going to take your head from your body, and the birds are going to feast on your, you know, the Lord, and everybody's going to know that nobody saves except by the hand of the Lord, that there is a God in Israel. And so, you know, David knew it. He spoke it. He declared it. He magnified God. God, in his mind, was bigger than Goliath. To all those other army guys, the God of Israel was smaller than Goliath. But to David, the God of Israel was bigger than Goliath. And he magnified the Lord, and he took Goliath. The psalmist magnified the Lord, and he was delivered from his fears. And again, this is a humbling thing. When you're in fear mode, you are in problem-solving mode. I need to fix this, so not only am I not afraid, but I will never be afraid again. That's just the way we roll. That's the way we think. And God calls us to a place of faith. Now, God will give us wisdom and things, but God calls us to a place of faith where he says, magnify the Lord. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? If God's for you, who can be against you? That's a totally different way of thinking. If God's for me, who can be against me? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Praise God. Where my sin is abounded, his grace is much, much more abounded. Here's the pile of my failure. The pile of his grace is so much bigger. What am I doing? I'm magnifying the Lord. Magnifying the Lord in my heart. In my mind, praise God. I'll tell you one thing that Satan does not like. It's a thankful heart. That kind of breaks his game. Again, we were looking at, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I've related this story many times at Door of Life. You know, where when I was working out one time on the treadmill and I'm just running and all of a sudden I'm just finding myself in a kind of a mind game. You know, where I'm arguing, I'm fighting with somebody in my mind. They don't know I'm fighting with them. I'm just fighting with them in my mind, all right? And I'm kind of, and I'm there. And I'm just right in the middle, and I'm running, and all of a sudden, I just hear the Spirit of God clearly say, just praise me. Right in the middle of that. Right in the middle of that mind game. You know, and I'm like about 5-6 levels deep, and I'm going, you know, I feel like I got an edge. The argument is going my way as I'm fighting. I'm going, God, I'm saying, God, okay, just let, you know, and this is what I said to the Lord. I said, Lord, let me first work through this, and then I'll praise you. And what the Lord said to me was profound. It's rung through my heart through my lifetime. He said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. What you realize and what he realizes and what we don't always realize is that game that we're in, it's a never-ending game. There is no end to it. This is how the scripture describes that game. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. This is really high-level language. It's not getting into the particulars of your problem. It's talking very high level to a point where you can discern, what voice am I hearing here? You know? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The voice of a stranger they won't follow. This is a strange voice. This is not God's voice. This is not the voice of the one who says, don't be afraid, fear not. This is a voice of bitter envy and self-seeking and chip on the shoulder and angry. But yet there's a ring of wisdom to it. Why does it call it wisdom? Because there's a logic to it that is so compelling that you want to keep playing the game. And God just says, walk away from the game. Just praise me. I've heard Jody say that. He said, it seems like cheating sometimes. We can just plug into heaven and worship God. And you know, from the enemy's perspective, it is. It's like, because he's playing the game. You know, if you're in the game of Monopoly with somebody, you know, kind of one of those longer games, and you're halfway through and you all got your properties, and maybe you just got Boardwalk and Park Place and you got some hotels on it. It's very unnatural to walk away from a game when you're right in the middle of it. You don't want to do that. You're in the middle of a game. And you can understand why the other person would be frustrated if you just walked away from the game. But if you're not supposed to be playing the game in the first place, you can walk away from the game. Especially if you're playing demonic Monopoly, like I was. All right? And you're right there, and you're right in the middle of the game, and you're engaged, and it's engaging your intellect, it's engaging your faculties, it's engaging who you are, it's compelling. And I'm just going to walk away from the game? I got to bring closure. I got to do, you know, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to win. But the trick, the enemy of the game, you never stop playing that game. You will play that game for years and years and trying to find the way, and here you are 10 years later playing the same game. You know, I love the old movie War Games back in the mid-80s. So it's kind of a computer geek, so that one kind of caught me up a little bit. But there was a play, you know, in that particular movie, you had this computer, this kid who hacked a government computer who accidentally triggered War Games, nuclear war games, that was about to set off nuclear weapons all around the world and start a nuclear war. And they couldn't turn this computer off because once it got engaged, you know, there was some fail-safe things that went through, and it was like the whole world, we're going to be starting a nuclear war and we can't stop it, even though we know it's, you know, it was hacked and it was a wrong thing. And one of the amazing little tricks that that the kid did, this hacker kid, was he had the computer, you know, while the computer was about ready to launch nuclear war, he had the computer play a little side game. He said, you know, would you like to play tic-tac-toe? And so he played tic-tac-toe, and it was a tie. And then he had the computer play itself. And all of a sudden, the computer began to play itself in tic-tac-toe, and there was no way the computer could win. He kept playing the same tic-tac-toe, and he realized there's no way to win it. And all of a sudden, he began to go over with the nuclear war thing, too. And he began to do that with the nuclear war scenarios and everybody blowing everybody up and the tic-tac-toe scenarios. And all of a sudden, the computer just shut down. And it said, strange game. The only winning move is not to play. That's very profound. When you're over here and you're playing demonic Monopoly, yeah, we understand, we get it, why we want to keep rolling the dice. Maybe get a property, maybe get a dig in, maybe, but the only winning move is not to play. Back away from the board. And that's what, it was such a profound thing. Wow, okay, God, so I'm just going to praise you. Sometimes that can sound like nickel and dime device. Well, just praise the Lord in the middle of your situation. You just want to, you don't even get it. Rotten, praise the Lord. Yeah, all right, thanks. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. But when God says, just praise me, it's like, wow. And that's the scripture that he brought to my, quickened to my spirit, was this one right here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continue. Even in the middle of demonic monopoly? Yeah, in fact, it's the thing that'll deliver you from demonic monopoly. When you begin to praise the Lord at all times. And all of a sudden you begin to realize there's life and peace. Have you had that happen where it's just like, wow, it's like you feel like you can be two different people? Well, you got the law of sin and death. You got those things that are warring against your mind, yeah. And maybe you've even experienced that when you could go and be frustrated and you go into the car and you turn on the radio station, all of a sudden there's a song playing, and all of a sudden, whew, everything's different. You hear that testimony a lot. Then that song came on and it spoke to my situation. Music, worship, all of a sudden it's like it changes the channel. All of a sudden I'm watching a different channel. I don't have to finish watching that program. I can change the channel. It's legal to do that. What are you doing? You're praising your way into faith. And you begin to look at God. You're looking at how good God is. I mean, let's share this with you. Changing the channel, I think again, it's kind of like walking away from the game, changing the channel. Can I change the channel or do I have to watch the end? You don't have to watch the end of that program. You can change the channel. If there's something that's not right about it, you can change the channel. Absolutely. It's not cheating. It might feel like it, but it isn't cheating. If that's what God says to do, then you're playing by the rules of his game. You're not playing by, you can't play by the rules of God's game and the enemy's game at the same time. So you're going to be playing by the rules of God's game and say, yes, that's right, that's okay. Change the channel. Not a big deal at all. The next thing is, I just really want to realize that when you're in that spot and you're in that process of changing the channel, there can be, and I'm just kind of walking through some things that I've experienced as I've changed the channels, I've walked away from the game. There can be a tendency to think, okay, well, you know what? I'm in denial. You know, I'm repressing my true feelings. I'm not dealing with true issues. I'm not, you know, this is not right. I can't just walk away from this. I've got to deal with it. I've got to walk through. I've got to face some of this stuff head on. Well, let's take a look at the scripture. He says, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. A person who's doing this is not running from anything. A person who's doing this is taking everything at the thought level. All right? I'm bringing it into captivity at the thought level. So when I'm over here, and I'm, for lack of a better phrase, demonic monopoly, we'll go with that. If I'm playing demonic monopoly, and all of a sudden I realize I'm in some demonic wisdom, that I'm on that merry-go-round that I can't seem to get off, and it's you're in that place, then you got to realize, hey, I'm taking these thoughts into captivity to obedience to Christ, to his word, and his word says, this is not me, this is not the way I think, this is not the way I give you wisdom. The scripture goes on to say in verses 17 and 18, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's full of mercy and good fruits, and it's without partiality and without hypocrisy, and it's sown in peace of them that makes peace. That's what I sound like. And so I'm not in denial. No, I'm taking those thoughts and I'm saying they don't line up with Scripture. That's not godly wisdom. I'm looking it right in the face and saying, I reject you. I'm not running from you. You're not God. An ungodly counsel will tell you to stay there for the rest of your life. Godly counsel will say, recognize that's not my wisdom. That's not what I sound like. Get back into a place of praise. Get back into a place of worship. Don't feel like you've got to problem solve it. When you're in problem solving mode, there's nothing like a good game of demonic monopoly. But when you humble yourself and you come out of problem solving mode, and I am looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my salvation mode, and I'm looking unto him, I'm not problem solving here, I'm looking unto him, and I'm allowing him, and I'm praying, I'm letting my request be made known unto him, And I trust that he's going to reveal that to me by his Spirit. His Spirit has been sent to live in me and to lead and guide me into all truth. And so I'm letting my request be made known unto him. In the meantime, my heart and mind is secure in Christ Jesus while I'm looking at the good things in life, and God by his Spirit will reveal to me what I need to know. Not because I'm in denial of it. Be anxious for nothing but in everything through prayer and supplication. I'm coming over here and I can pray about it and say, Father, I pray about that. Give me wisdom. You said if I lack wisdom, you'll give to all liberally. I'm doing something about it. When I'm seeing that, I'm saying, that's not God. I'm stepping out. This is not denial. This is brutal confrontation. Brutal confrontation on a good way that will cause you to be free. That's what the psalmist said. I sought the Lord and he heard me. I magnify the Lord with me. He delivered me from all my fears. So what is he doing? He's making God big. He's dealing with the issues to God, but he's not over there in that game. He's not going to stay on that merry-go-round of demonic wisdom, but he's going to step off and he's begin to praise God. Here's, you know, a beautiful story I think that really depicts this well too, is the story of Joshua and Jericho. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None of them went out, none of them came in. You remember the children of Israel wanted to go in here like 40 years earlier, but they were afraid of them. They had fear of these people. They said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Well, here we are 40 years later. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go around the city once. This shall you do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Man, they ended up taking the city with a shout. It was a celebration. Is that possible? I mean, you over here, 40 years ago, they're doing the math with armies and men's and knives and weapons and all that kind of stuff. And it's amazing when you read some of these New Testament accounts. God destroys enemies with praise and worship. It's like Jesus lifting up those loaves and fish and then supernatural multiplication. You're coming out against, you're not only are you not partaking of demonic monopoly anymore, but you're coming out over here into a new realm where you're beginning to do spiritual things, and you're beginning to declare the goodness of God, the one who delivered you from darkness into his marvelous light. And in those places of worship and praise, there are things that literally fall off, walls that fall down. Praise God, because spiritual strongholds that can be in place over there are broken in the presence of God. This is the supernatural stuff. Not everything is a mental work through. If you listen to this world, you think everything's a mental work through. When you read the Bible, you'll find out that the anointing breaks yokes of bondages. You'll find out in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. You'll find out that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, that their spiritual things are real, and they break off the spiritual strongholds. I love this, kind of one of these old songs that came out. This is probably an 80s song, but I think it depicts it well. It says, when you're up against the struggle that shattered out your earthly dreams, hopes cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, you feel the urge within you, you've been playing the game for a while, experience of things. You feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He will work for those who praise him. Praise the Lord, for God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. And those chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they fall powerless behind you when you praise him. Satan's a liar, and he wants to make us think we're paupers when we know ourselves we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith. The battle must be won. Remember, Jesus Christ is risen, so the works are already done. What are we talking about? We're just talking about praising your way into that place of faith. Praise God. It's the same way the psalmist did. He magnified the Lord to where his fears were gone. You know, you may not always know what you're going to do next, but when you know, and it's so big in your heart that if God is for you, who can be against you? You don't always need to know what you're going to do next. You just know that God is for you, and that's enough. And it'll keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus until he shows you what to do next. It passes your understanding. That's the most powerful place in the world. If you need understanding, you're vulnerable. But if you can walk in a peace that passes your understanding, you can go amazing, amazing places in God. Then finally, praising your way into joy. We know this passage. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, counting it all joy, I think this is one of those contrary scriptures, we think, man, I'm going through trials and tribulations, things like that. One of the things that I just want you to realize as you're going through a trial of your faith, that it's not a trial of your emotions. We get emotionally frustrated and we want to feel better in a trial of faith. But when you realize what the enemy is after, he's not after how you feel. He's after your faith, the testing of your faith. You're going through something and you're thinking, man, I'm seeing this and the scripture says this. I should have peace here. I should have, what's going on here? Your faith is being tried. Your faith is being tried. There's a trial of your faith. There's a trial of what you believe about God. That's all a trial is about. It's try to get you to turn loose of trusting God. That's the purpose of a trial from the enemy's perspective, okay? But on the other side, as you're going through a trial and you endure and you hang on, it's going to work patience. And it's going to cause you to mature and be strengthened. Why? Because you're not letting go. You're holding on to your faith. You're trusting God. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Here's a great story too. Now it happened when Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He said he went to a certain village. There he met 10 men who were lepers who stood far off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face before Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Praise God. So here was a situation where a guy, he was cleansed, he was free, and he came back and said, thank you. This is one of the great ways that you count it all joy when you fall into the different trials and temptations. It's when you go back and you begin to say, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all those things that are good, all those things that are right. And this guy came back and said, thank you. Now think about this guy. We don't really have the after story on him. That would be kind of an interesting story if you did a movie or something like that. What happened to this guy after he went his way? You know, he was a human being. He had trials and tests and different things that went on in his life, no doubt about it. But at the same time, don't you think he would have had a basis to count it all joy? Man, yeah, I'm going through this financial situation. I'm going through that. But you know what? I had leprosy, and now I'm healed. Praise God. I can count it all joy. God is faithful. God is faithful. Really, what you're doing here when you're counting it all joy, you're counting things. You're taking inventory. You're counting your blessings, naming them one by one. You're coming back to the faithfulness of God. Why is the faithfulness of God so important? Because your faith is what's being tried. Your faith is what's being tried. Can God be trusted here? Is God going to be true here? Is God going to be true here? This, why? You're going to go back and recount. Yes, God is faithful. He loves me. Those are the times when you go back and remember all the good things God's done for you. Jesus gave us this illustration. He said, you know, if you're dealing with bitterness and you're having a frustration over how somebody could have done something to you, remember the parable of the unforgiving servant, the master who forgave him the $1 million debt. And he went about and he forgot that. And he became a very bitter person. And he strangled the guy that owed him $20. What did he need to do? He needed to remember, wow, I've been forgiven $1 million debt. What am I dealing with? Who's sinned against me? Wow, God's forgiven me the $1 million debt. God, you're faithful, you're faithful, you're faithful. And when I miss it, you're faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. You're faithful. You're remembering on purpose the faithfulness of God. Remember watching many years ago I watch you pretty regularly, actually, the Moses and the Ten Commandments, the Charlton Heston one. You know, as a kid, that made a really big impression on me because I'd see these amazing plagues and the special effects and all that kind of stuff. And you'd see, wow, look at all the incredible things God did for them. And then they come through the Red Sea, you know, and just open the part of the sea and close the sea on their enemies. And here they are, just a few moments later, they're partying like the Egyptians. They're just living it up, tearing it up, you know. And because Moses wasn't back, they thought God had forsaken him. They thought, man, how could they see all those amazing things and then lose faith in God? I remember thinking that to myself. And the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, Ed, that's a good question. And that's the question we got to ask ourselves. Has God done some things in your life? Do you have some things that you could recount and say, wow, that was God. Wow, thank you, God, you delivered my life from destruction right there. I would not be here today if you had not supernaturally intervened. Or he delivered you financially if you had not supernaturally intervened. Or you restored a relationship or you repaired something and it was God.
Those things are important to remember, especially in those times. We're talking about praising our way into joy. You begin to build yourself up on the faithfulness, the things that God has done for you in the past. Not only that, but the things that God's going to be doing for you in the future. This is what Peter says. We'll conclude with this. And this you're greatly rejoiced, though for now, for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And finally, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So in praising your way out of darkness, there's a praise. We're going to have to praise our way into some things. As we praise our way into some things, we're going to come out of some things. Praising our way into gratitude, just appreciating all his blessings, big and small, just on purpose, begin to look for any little thing that you can just purposely say, thank you, Lord, for that. Even big stuff. Sometimes, like we said, the parable of the unforgiving servant, he forgot the big thing. He forgot that he had been forgiven the $1 million debt. Have we forgotten that one before as we've struggled to forgive our brother who's owed us 20 bucks? Yeah, we got to on purpose remember the big stuff and the little stuff. And when you think about the big stuff, we have the Holy Spirit in us. God loves us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. It's an amazing. We've got so much to be thankful for. Praising your way into faith, looking at how big God really is. Again, getting out of the demonic monopoly game and saying, okay, God, here we go. I'm going to begin to praise you, worship you, and for who you are, how big you are, and really see that he is for me, and if he is for me, who can be against me? Praise your way into joy, remembering his goodness to you, past, present, and future. And so what we're talking about this morning, again, just praising your way out of darkness. These are simple little things, and these are things that you do, and this is stuff that's between you and God. And the cool thing with God is, and the supernatural, spectacular stuff of the Spirit, a lot of times it happens in the quiet, little, secret place, private moments when nobody's watching. And you just decide to go against the grain of your thinking patterns and go against the grain of what your body's telling you and go against the grain of a pity party and go against the grain of all that and just say, praise God. Praise God. And something happens. The Holy Spirit says, yep, that's right. That's good. That's good. And so how do I get out of this darkness? I'm not going to be in problem-solving mode. I'm not going to calculate my way out. I'm just going to, on purpose, begin to praise my way into some things. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for just the power of praise that we have, Lord. What a relief to our minds that we don't have to figure everything out. But our next step, no matter what the darkness may be, is just the positive step of praise and worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. It is always appropriate. It is always right to stop and give thanks. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I love you. I want to praise you. I want to praise myself into gratitude, looking for every little thing, every big thing, and give you glory and be thankful. You've given me so much. And Heavenly Father, I know you're bigger than the devil. You're bigger than my problems. And you're for me. I worship you. I magnify you. I look at how big you are. And I'm amazed at how big you are. And the walls of fear fall. You are greater than he that's in this world. And you're in me. I remember that. I praise you for it. And Heavenly Father, there's a trial for my faith. There's an enemy out there who wants to change the way I think about you. He wants to accuse you. I won't let him. I will count it all joy. I will remember your goodness in the face of things I don't understand. I will remember your goodness in the face of accusations that say, where is your God now? I will answer those accusations. He is here. He is with me. He is for me, and I trust Him with all my heart. Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on Your name. You died on that cross for my sins. I receive You now as my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.